MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, November 7, 2023, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore with today's headlines. It's Election Day in Massachusetts. $8 million worth of illegal drugs seized in Lynn.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we'll hear about the Marblehead football upset from last weekend and how they'll try to do it again this weekend. Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you, sir. Rain, then clearing, low 60s today, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 6:48 p.m. It's Election Day in Massachusetts. In Peabody, the race for mayor finds incumbent Ted Betancourt running against challenger Rochelle Genta. There are six candidates running for five at-large council seats in Peabody. Here's Salem News reporter Caroline Enos.
Mayor Ted Betancourt is actually facing his first challenger since he was elected in 2011. He actually faced off against another person in the preliminaries, but obviously it was whittled down to two. Her name is Rochelle Agneta. She is a owner of the salon CC at Mills 58 in Peabody. They are both, I think, very well-spoken candidates. It seems like a good opponent for him, especially since, again, it's the first one that he's had. While he's very much been promoting, preserving open space, he's been pushing for a new public safety building up on Allen's Lane behind the current police station near the Higgins Middle School. Those have been, big parts of his campaign for her. She's very much pushing a new T-stop in Peabody, since Peabody somehow doesn't have the commuter rail. With the closure of Ruslo, which is one of the biggest properties and businesses in Peabody, which actually has the city's last operating railroad, since they bring supplies to the plant, she's really hoping and campaigning on putting something there, on the station there, hopefully. So it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. Same with the at-large race, since, of the five incumbents, they're also facing off against a second-time candidate who doesn't have any elected experience, but she's run before. Her name is Pukia Chalvert. She's, again, seems like a very competent candidate. Other major races, Ward 2, Mary Beth Malia, who was the Ward 2 counselor back for a term in the late 90s. She's facing off against Pete McGinn, who's been in for five terms. So you have two people with the same experience in some ways. And then in Ward 6, we are seeing two first-time candidates since the former, he's still there, but, he's stepping down with this election. He agreed that or said that he wouldn't run again earlier this year, Mark O'Neill. So we're seeing Michael Higgins, who's an engineer, and Ryan Cox, who's a pipe fitter, go up against each other. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how the council kind of changes with a brand new person coming on. I'm looking forward to seeing how this will play out on Tuesday.
That's Caroline Enos. In Beverly, incumbent Mayor Mike Cahill is being challenged by Jamie Zarella. Beverly also has several important charter questions on the ballot. Salem News reporter Paul Layton has more.
In Beverly, the election is, we have an election for mayor. Mike Cahill has been the mayor for 10 years. He's seeking re-election. He's being challenged by Jamie Zarella, who's a first-time candidate, never run for office before. He's the owner of Big Jim's Auto Body in Beverly. Cahill beat him by about almost 1,000 votes in the preliminary election when there were three candidates. So we'll see what happens in this one. And then there's also, for the first time in a long time, Beverly's facing ballot questions. There are three questions on the ballot to make changes to the city charter. The big one is whether Beverly should go from a two-year mayoral term to a four-year mayoral term, like a lot of communities have. And then the other two, one is to expand the school committee by two more seats. The advocates for that say that the work of the school committee is getting more involved, there's a heavier load, and they could use a couple of extra people. And the third question is about whether a ward counselor or school committee member who moves to another ward within the city during their term should be able to finish out their term rather than have. This came about because John Frades a few years ago in Ward 6, he moved across town, so he still lived in Beverly, but the city council had to pick a successor. He wasn't allowed to finish out his term. So those are the three ballot questions. There's a school committee race in Ward 3. That's the only school committee race. And then the other kind of quirky one in Beverly is there's only three candidates for the three city council at large positions, the three incumbents, but there's actually a contest there because Beverly is the only community in the state where the top vote getter among the at large candidates becomes council president. So voters are going to pick a council president, whether they know it or not, because it doesn't say on the ballot that that's the case. So it's kind of a quirky thing there. So those are the recap of the Beverly election.
And Salem News reporter Dustin Luca explains who's running for what in the which city.
So not a whole lot going on in Salem. We figured out our mayor stuff months ago. So Dominic Mangello was elected on May 18th. So that was kind of the first stage of elections this year. There normally would not have been a mayoral election this year, but because of Kim Driscoll becoming LG, that kind of changed things a little bit. So what we have left is a six-way race for city council at large for four seats and contest in wards 1 through 4, two candidates each. And then school committee is a three-seat race between four people. So what's interesting about those, the school committee race, because you're only going to have one person losing, it's really kind of a comparison of ideas and kind of what makeup of the school committee you want the most. So that race is super polite, which for some reason the school committee race in Salem always is polite. And then the at-large race is kind of interesting because the two challengers are actually younger than all four incumbents. So it's kind of like a, you know, young folks versus, you know, the others. Not to say that there's anything wrong with being 40, especially because I just turned 40 last week. But so that's also a thing. Ward 1, you have a change from Bob McCarthy to whoever's going to win that race. And that's up between Cynthia Gerzolo and Chris Malmstrom. Ward 2, you've got an interesting one between the incumbent Carolyn Watson Felt and Chris Fuccioni, who has worked a lot with the homeless community and has himself been homeless in the past. So he's kind of speaking and representing them. And there's a lot of homelessness in downtown Salem. So that's kind of where that's coming from. And then wards 3 through 4 are super interesting because they're both bordering Highland Avenue and are both dealing with a massive project there, dealing with the high school, dealing with Salem Woods. They're both inland wards that are dealing with climate crisis in a different way. So we're going to have a bunch of coverage kind of to wrap all that up on Monday. That's going to focus on wards 2, 3, 4 and then school committee, because we actually just ran the other stuff previously. So that's kind of what's coming up there.
Our thanks to Salem News reporters Caroline Enos, Paul Layton, and Dustin Luca. Elsewhere, Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga is being challenged by Mary Ellen Rose, and there are council races as well in that city. In Lynn, there are 8 candidates running for 4 councillor at large seats. And in Newburyport, there are candidates running for 5 councillor at large seats. 3 Lynn men were arrested Monday in what is described by the FBI as New England's largest drug seizure. An estimated 10 million doses of controlled substances have been seized, including 8 million doses of fentanyl and methamphetamine-laced pills and powder. The total street value of the drugs seized is upwards of $8 million. We have the complete story in a post on msonewsports.com. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Bruins beat the Dallas Stars last night 3-2. Up next, the Islanders come to the Garden on Thursday night. The Celtics lost for the first time this year last night in Minnesota to the T-Wolves in overtime, 114-109. The Celtics head back east to play the 76ers in Philly tomorrow night. The Patriots meet the Colts in Germany on Sunday. The number 14-seeded Marblehead football team knocked off the number 3-seeded Middleborough team last weekend in the playoffs in Division 4. This is Marblehead coach Jim Rudloff.
You know, we were fortunate. We got what I thought was a pretty good draw. You know, the game against Danvers helped us out tremendously, you know, built some confidence in us. But, you know, also the win put us in the playoffs, and then we were fortunate with the way that some of the wins and losses went, that we got a pretty good draw and we went up against a team that we were able to compete pretty well with. Kids executed, I thought, great on defense. You know, we made a lot of mistakes on offense that needed to be cleaned up, but we had a pretty good game and you know, fortunate to be in the position we're in.
This week, Marblehead will hit the road again to take on the number 6-seeded Grafton team.
Yeah, they've got some guys on this team. They're an excellent coach team. They have a really good scheme defensively. I think they average allowing 9 points a game, somewhere around there. They just don't give up a lot of points. They have a very good line. They have their right tackle, although he moves around a lot, it's 303 pounds. They have a 280-pound guard next to him, so it's obviously a little bit bigger. The rest of the team, it's a little bit more our size, but they have some great running backs, a senior quarterback who really controls the offense well, and you know we're going to be up against it. It's going to be a tough game to go on the road, for another playoff game, and then play a team of this caliber is going to be tough.
One area of Marblehead's game that has come together of late this season is their defense.
You know, every week it seems different guys show up. I think our most consistent performer has been, Brooks Keefe or Chris DeWitt. I think they've, in and out, they've been really solid performers on us. At different points in times, we've been missing certain guys due to injury and whatnot, but those two week in and week out seem to be in there and making great plays for us. Andy Palmer's an excellent corner. He was out for a little bit of time, but having Andy back has really helped solidify things. But we've had really good contributions from the entire defensive line. When one guy has a great game, and another guy's not having as great of a game, it seems like somebody else steps up. And, 2 weeks ago against Danvers, that was Justin Gonzalez, who came from out of nowhere just to have a phenomenal game for us. So little things like that. Jake Scoglin all year has been terrific, and we've been fortunate. But, as those guys have gotten better and the guys around them have gotten better, our defense has certainly gotten better, because we played some real stinkers this year in the first four games and had a lot of mistakes to correct and a lot of improvements to make there.
Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff will have a complete interview with Coach Rudloff up on our website this week here on MSO News Sports. That is sports. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thank you for joining us here on this Tuesday here on North Shore.
We are MSONewsSports.com, the North Shore's news and sports website, featuring North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, the North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows, hosting on Thursdays, North Shore Today, the area's multimedia, community-based daily magazine. Our connections feature interview segments. Spread the word about MSONewsSports.com as we support North Shore communities with our exclusive content, powered by Moynihan Lumber, Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
For today.